I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. We've got a great episode today. We've got two amazing cannabis aficionados. We have Larry Smith and Melanie Abrams, and they are the authors of The Joy of Cannabis. It's coming out January. Guys, it's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
Terrific to be with you, Jeff.
Are you both based in Oakland?
Yeah, basically, we're both in the East Bay. This is Larry. I'm in Berkeley.
And I'm in Oakland.
Got it. You guys are close.
Yeah.
So what brought you guys together to launch the book?
You know, the truth is cannabis brought us together. I had moved back to the Bay Area in mid-2019. I found myself at a party a few months later, lots of fun people from the world of community storytelling, journalism, academia, and I started talking to Melanie. And about 15 minutes later, in a situation that shouldn't be shocking for the Bay Area, she said, "Who wants to go out to the deck and get high?" Melanie's not a big drinker. And I said, "I'd like to get high." And nobody else joined us. And we started a conversation in December 2019 that never really stopped and eventually led to us about 6 or 7 months later to deciding to co-write this book called The Joy of Cannabis, 75 Ways to Amplify Your Life Through the Science and Magic of Cannabis.
I love it. So you guys didn't know each other at the party at all, right?
We didn't.
So basically two strangers and then kind of come together through the power of the plant, and you guys write this amazing book.
I mean, it almost sounds too good to be true, but literally Melanie said, "Does anybody want to get high?" And I was surprised that I was the only one in the Bay Area who said, "Yes, it's a beautiful night. Let's get high on the deck." And it's not that it was a weird thing. Really, it shouldn't be weird anywhere, but it's just funny. It's like Melanie and I don't have trouble talking to people or each other. But as you know, Jeff, when you know you have the plant kind of amplifying your conversation, your mood, everything is great. And it really was just a perfect origin story for us.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you guys sent me excerpts of the book over the winter last year, and it was very enjoyable. And so let's kind of go through some questions. I know you guys also have, you know, done this before. You put some frequently asked questions, and I found them great and perfect for this show, especially for the book that's coming out. But so Melanie, you know, why don't we start with you? Like, what is it that you love the most about cannabis, and what do you use it the most for?
Yeah, I think what I love the most is its, you know, superpower that allows you to really like be in the moment and just fully engage with whatever you're doing. And I think, like I said on the website, and when I'm asked this question, I always say that my three favorite things to do high are, you know, music, sex, movies.
And so, Larry, are you kind of in agreement there, or do you have other...
I mean, it's hard to argue with music, sex, and movies.
I guess music, yeah. Go ahead.
And, you know, I also, like a lot of humans, I battled sleep and insomnia for years. And, you know, honestly, it took a while to figure out the right strain and right amount of cannabis to help with my sleep. But it really did help with my sleep. So that's a game changer for me. And what I really like about it is that it just breaks down walls and barriers. As Melanie said, maybe that's what it means to be in the moment. But I feel like two high people, or even one high person, just has a better conversation, perhaps, than when you have some walls up.
Right. You know, it's interesting. So I talk about this on the show all the time, but I've always had tremendous issues sleeping. You know, obviously, running companies, building companies, traveling all over the world, and just kind of like always being on the go. You know, and I think a lot of us from an executive standpoint, we always have that kind of mindset of like, we can't turn our brains off, right? And the last few years, I've really kind of turned to cannabis to sleep, like, you know, taking edibles at night that have CBN and THC and all these, you know, great concoctions. But what I've found on me, and this is, I'm curious what you guys think, especially after you wrote this book, is it doesn't matter what the strain is. It doesn't matter if it's sativa or indica. Cannabis definitely, at the end of the day, will put me to sleep. And so I talked to so many people, they're like, oh no, I could never take sativa and go to sleep. I'll be up all night. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that certain people's body types or blood types or, you know, chemical makeup impact how, you know, they metabolize different strains? Because it just always puts me to sleep.
Right. I'm sure that actually that's true, that different, I mean, we know it's true that different bodies metabolize cannabis differently. I mean, there, you know, there's studies that show that there, if you have a certain genetic mutation, cannabis doesn't work on you at all. So it, you know, stands to reason that we're all have our, we all bring our own DNA to it. But I think also a piece of that has to do with, so some people know this and some people don't. And this idea of sativa and indica in the, you know, days of yore, yes, there were definitely sativa plants and indica plants. But with all the inbreeding that's gone on, almost everything now is a hybrid. So it is totally possible to find a pure sativa and a pure indica, but you may not necessarily know how to do that. You know, you have to have your, you know, flower taken to a lab to make sure that it's really that. And despite this, I still anecdotally love sativas over indicas, which doesn't really make much sense. But I think that, you know, going to sleep with whatever cannabis you're using, it has to do with the THC, and both strains have, you know, THC in them. So I agree with you. You're going to go to sleep no matter what you're ingesting. I mean, it's possible that a sativa is going to keep you, if a true sativa is going to keep you up a little bit longer, but ultimately the result is the same. Yeah. And I'm with you. Like, weed will always put me to sleep eventually.
Yeah. Now, have either of you guys grown before?
So funny. No, and I want to. But I just, like, it's one area I have not delved into yet.
Yeah, super curious. You know, people, we have all these activities in the book, and we have tried just about all of them, but one of the activities we have, and it's not really an activity, but we have an essay by Jorge Cervantes about growing and kind of a, you know, very, very beginner's guide to growing. So we absolutely want to put that on our cannabis bucket list. And, you know, I would say that Melanie, who pretty much like can create anything, she's like, kombucha, it's too expensive. There she goes. She brews up her own. I think Melanie's a very good, a likely candidate to grow and grow well.
Well, I grew it last summer, not this summer, but the summer before for the first time. And it was an amazing experience. And I will say, at the end of the day, it was really simple. You know, you read all these things of like, oh, there's so much you need to do. And I grew it all outdoors in my garden, and it exploded. I mean, I had five plants that bared like literally 4 pounds. And I just gave so much away as gifts. And people were like, oh my God, this is the best weed ever. And it was interesting because it was like, it was one of those... the flower was, it smelled really amazing and potent. And I didn't measure, like I didn't do any testing of how much THC, but I got this really cool, it's almost like it wasn't a magnifying glass. It was almost like a mini telescope, but it's meant for like looking at the actual flower and seeing all the oil on the actual leaves. Have you seen this up close? What it actually looks like when they have the THC little nodules?
Yeah, for sure. And the terpenes particularly.
It's probably unbelievable. And you use this little like device, and once it turns cloudy, it, from clear to cloudy, you know that it's ready to harvest.
Wow.
And it literally looked like an alien. And it was just so incredible what, you know, nature actually produces right from a plant. I mean, it was, for me, it was actually a more of like a science project. But I think for me, the gift of giving all that away, you know, and having people come back to me and say, that's something really special. You know, they were like, I've never been so creative on it.
One of the nice things about moving to the Bay Area, I was in Brooklyn and then Columbus, Ohio for a few years, is that when you have a party, people, you know, yeah, they'll bring you a bottle of wine or a plate of cookies, but like people have often at parties we've done together and held together, they're, oh, I grow my own cannabis. Here you go. It's not just because you're the cannabis people, but because it's what a lovely gift to give away. And I'll tell you a story, Jeff. The famous food writer, Molly Katzen, who wrote the Moosewood Cookbook and probably another dozen cookbooks, she lives in the Bay Area. And through a friend, she heard about this book that I was working on and that, you know, I love cannabis for sleep. So she sent some through that friend to me, and I sent her an email saying, you know, Molly, like, thank you so much. And, you know, it's, by the way, it's really lovely weed and it's been great for sleep. And, you know, would you like to write a little essay in her book about cooking with cannabis? And she sent me an email which said, basically, Larry, you know what? I actually don't cook with it for a couple of reasons. But she wrote this just long email about this long, lovely email about how she just loves the meditative aspect of the gardening and being in there with the plants and then giving it away, just as you said, Jeff. And I said, you know, Molly, can I like edit like two lines of this and print it in the book? She said, that would be great. So Molly Katz, not on cooking, the famous cook, but in fact, on just the joy of gardening, just a sweet essay.
I think that, I mean, Larry, you bring up a really interesting point, because I think I've even experienced a few things totally randomly where, you know, I had, you know, whether it was an edible or smoked a pre-roll or whatever it was, and I found myself like stretching, right? And then from there, I found myself like, hey, I should probably lift some weights right now. And then from there, I'm like, whoa, this is actually really enjoyable because I can feel my muscles like really working. And I don't do it often, but it is amazing. Like you were just talking about meditation.
Yeah.
There really is a component of it that really, it amplifies your body's senses of what you're doing in that moment. And like really being able to feel the muscle fibers working in your body when you're like out of your state of mind is pretty interesting. And I don't hear a lot of people talk about that, but I think there's something there, right?
No, wow.
Working out can be boring, yeah. Right? And then if you're a little stoned, it actually makes it a little fun, you know?
Yeah, no, we have a whole activity in our book all about called Runner's High, because there's been a lot of research lately done on particularly running. Runners seem to really enjoy getting high and running, but exercise in general. And one of the things that they found that creates the, you know, quote unquote runner's high is not what they thought, which was a dopamine dump, but rather it's the endocannabinoid system working. So the endocannabinoids that are within your body resemble cannabinoids that are in the plant. And when they are activated, you get a runner's high. So it makes sense that when you add THC, the plant cannabinoids to your system, you're going to get a similar kind of high. So you're getting like a double dose of that high when you're exercising after you've like, you know, partaken.
And one of the real messages of the book, which I know, you know, Jeff, sometimes even all of us are surprised, but how much we're high, we want to clean, we want to run, lift weights. One of the important messages of the book is this. We understand that, like, through years of media images and, like, you know, jokes about the slacker stoner, like, passing out with potato chips on the couch, that's what cannabis does. But in fact, the same interaction between the flower and your brain that does maybe make you veg on the couch just in a sort of meditative state, it also puts you in a state of high productivity, of sex feeling a little sexier, of nature feeling a little brighter, of music sort of slowing down and feeling even better. And that's all brain science. And when we tell people, oh, we have a whole section on productivity, all the different ways that cannabis can increase productivity, including cleaning, including decluttering your digital files. Some people love to do PowerPoints on cannabis. They're just focused in the zone. Even in the, you know, the Bay Area, where you'd think this would be not news, people are constantly shocked, amazed, and then I think ultimately delighted about what cannabis can do for them in all these areas they never had considered.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so interesting? So we have a pretty large CPG client at Philo that produces, you know, some of the largest, you know, bottled waters in the country. And they use our data for their marketing. And we do have a segment called Runner's High, where we're actually targeting consumers who have either purchased edible CBD or any type of cannabis related product, overlaid with the fact that they have run marathons or work out. And they are literally the highest performing segment that converts to buy this water. And so there's, you guys, there's something there for sure, without a question.
Yeah.
But I definitely like, I'm there's got to be some research into this, you know, working out slash meditation. I'm sure there's tons of articles about it, but I think I need to individually explore this even more, not like a few times, but like, cause I will say though, guys, it's really hard for me to write emails if I'm high. Like I just don't, the words don't, I don't know. It takes me a long time to put a cohesive sentence together. And then I get anxiety about it. Like, does that sound right? No, that doesn't sound right. I don't know if you guys experience that too.
Well, yeah. The truth is that if you're too high, you're not going to be able to do those things. Right. Low levels of THC for trying to be productive are often better. Waiting until you're a little less high, just so that your critical brain is still functioning a little bit. But back to the articles and stuff. I mean, it's amazing, you know, because it is classified as a Schedule I drug. There's been so little research done, but really within the last definitely 10 years, but really 5 years, there's lots more research coming out about, you know, how cannabis works in the brain and how it can help with productivity and especially with exercise. It seems to be like a field that people are really interested in.
Are you guys having, you know, obviously the book's coming out in January. Are you guys doing anything fun to celebrate the launch?
Well, I mean, we're traveling around the country and doing events in bookstores. And you know, we promise folks that these will be super fun events. What else are we doing?
I mean, we're definitely going to have to throw a book birthday party. But we haven't planned that yet.
Okay. You know, before we go, guys, the book is available multiple places. I know I've got the link before on Amazon. You are also available where in Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much wherever books are sold. And on our website, thejoyofcannabis.org, we have a list of events coming up. We've got a bunch of events in January and on the West Coast and middle of the country. And then as the weather gets warmer, we move to the East Coast and do some events there. But when I think one of the things we'll see at our events, and it's been happening just in interviews and just talking to people, people have so many questions. So we will, you know, we will really like kind of just let people ask the questions that, you know, they don't know who to ask. They don't know where to ask, how to ask. You know, one of the reasons we wrote this book is for when I realized how helpful cannabis was for sleep. And I told my sister, who has a similar DNA makeup as I do, I said, you know, Susie, this really is working for me for sleep. You have the same sleep problems. And according to Yelp, there's three dispensaries within a half a mile of your house. And two of them have 20% off for first time visitors. And she said, look, that's great. Well, can you get that for me? And I said, well, I won't be near you for a couple of weeks. She said, well, I don't know how to navigate a dispensary. I don't know how to do that. I'm like, you know, many people don't. So, you know, we have something about how to navigate a dispensary in the book. And it just remains a little bit of an unknown world for even the cannabis connoisseurs and certainly for the rapidly growing cannabis curious. So, you know, both in the book and at the events, we really are so happy just to answer the questions you didn't know who else and how to ask.
Awesome. Well, guys, I'm rooting for you guys. And I love how you guys came together to write the book. And I wish you guys, obviously, a lot of successful sales. But I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. Larry Smith, Melanie Abrams, The Joy of Cannabis. Thank you guys again.
It's been a joy, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.